In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years ago, I heard a story about Thomas Edison that brought tears to my eyes. I don't know if it's entirely true. There might be some embellishment involved, but I imagine it'll pull on your heartstrings too. When Thomas Edison was 7 years old, he came home and gave a note to his mother. He told her, "My teacher gave this paper to me and said to only give it to you." His mother's eyes were tearful as she read the letter out loud to her child. "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers for training him. Please teach him at home." Many, many years later, after Edison's mother had died and he had become one of the greatest inventors of the century, he was looking through some old family belongings and he found a piece of paper in the corner of a desk drawer. He took it, opened it up, and on the paper was written this: "Your son is addled, in other words, mentally ill. We won't let him come to school anymore." Edison cried for hours and then wrote in his diary, "Thomas Alva Edison was an addled child that by a hero mother became the genius of the century." My husband read this story in a book about the power of positive thinking and shared it with me. Again, I don't know how much is legend and how much is fact, but it definitely carries a spiritual message about identity. Edison believed he was a genius, and therefore he manifested that identity for all the world to see. It's a bit like being a Christian. We are always growing into and manifesting our Christian identity. This identity is given to us in baptism, which marks the beginning of our journey with Jesus. That's when we are commissioned to be like Christ in the world, and then we spend the rest of our lives in service of that mission. Now today, this identity of Christian will be given to Liliana, who is 5 years old. Liliana is the granddaughter of longtime parishioner Linda Gossett, and I would say Linda is one of the most beloved members of our faith community. She definitely has a grandmother vibe going on in the best way possible. So loving, so on point, she embodies the love of God the Mother, who is also God the Father. And today in our gospel text, we hear God the Father proclaim, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now we will hear these words again on the last Sunday of this season of Epiphany, which is about the transfiguration. The last Sunday, the transfiguration, where Jesus goes up on a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and suddenly his face is shining. He appears in dazzling white. Moses is on one side, Elijah is on the other, and God the Father speaks those words from the clouds once again: "This is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased." It's kind of like bookends. We have God the Father announcing his love at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which is inaugurated by his baptism, and then again near the end of his ministry, at the high point of his glorification before he goes to Jerusalem to die. Now, what's notable about this love expressed at the beginning and the end of the earthly ministry is that it's the same in both instances. God's love is not contingent on Jesus' healing or preaching or teaching or showing himself to be the Messiah. God was pleased with Jesus before all of that stuff. Jesus didn't have to prove anything. And the same holds true for us. God's love and approval is there for us too. We are beloved too. Now, it's part of our Christian identity that is not dependent on what we do. However, being beloved is something we can all embrace more fully. It's something we can live into, so to speak, kind of like Edison lived into being a genius. Baptism is the first step in becoming who God created us to be, and then receiving God's love helps get us to that point. It's a critical part of the journey to growth and maturity in Christ. And then when we receive God's love, we have more love for others, and we have more love for ourselves. And that means we love ourselves enough to do the right thing. We love ourselves enough not to tell the white lie, or lash out in anger, or intentionally hurt someone's feelings. We see ourselves as better than that. We take the high road, we help other people, and that's what self-love is all about. Simply internalizing God's love for us, and then we can more easily love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, I know this is easier said than done, and like me, I'm sure you've experienced the converse of that truth. If I'm not feeling God's love, I get snippy and self-righteous. If I'm not feeling God's love, I take everything personally and can only think about myself. If I'm not feeling God's love, I start looking to other people to make me feel important or valued. Anybody else? On top of that, our awareness of being beloved by God is easily drowned out by the judgments of the world, criticisms of others, and our own harsh self-appraisals. The voice of God's love is especially hard to hear when we are under attack or stress. So, this means that we have to be very intentional about listening for that voice. And that's what's part of what's so great about coming to church. There are so many places in our liturgy that declare God's love for us. And of course, it's pretty amazing to be in this sacred space that is so conducive to drawing closer to God. I once was on a group spiritual retreat, and a bishop gave us a prayer practice based on seeing ourselves as beloved by God. We were to take those words spoken to Jesus in baptism and then apply them to ourselves personally. So, for example, I sat there for 10 minutes and listened for God's word to me. Adrian, you are my daughter, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Everyone was instructed to do this. And at the end, we reconvened to talk about the experience. Now, a number of people talked about how they felt unworthy of that love. They felt resistance to accepting this message. A few people cried. They had been missing that feeling of God's love for a long time. They were overwhelmed by grace, and in some cases, pain. Sometimes when we receive something we really need after not getting it for so long, like affirmation, love, freedom, only then do we realize fully the pain of not having it. the pain or the hunger we haven't let ourselves feel. The point is that most of us could do a better job remembering, proclaiming, and living into our belovedness. It may not be easy to let in that love, but God's love is where it all begins. God's love is where our Christian identity begins. So, beloveds, be loved. Sit and be loved, even if it hurts just a bit. Sit and be loved. Right now, for the next couple minutes, close your eyes and hear God's words of love for you. Be the beloved of God, for this is what pleases the Father. Amen.